Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Michael Holland joining us right now from Holland & Company on the equity markets. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Tom Keane.
What will you do for Thanksgiving? Are you having Thanksgiving with James Dimon?
No, I'm having it with my family up in Connecticut. Thank you.
But if you did with Jamie Dimon, what would be the question that you would ask? You're a long-term J.P. Morgan shareholder. You've been a defender of the fortress. It's like Game of Thrones, folks. He's been defender of the fortress through the year. He's been the pinata of the year, hasn't he?
Yes, and I would ask him how thankful is he that the stock price studiously ignores all the pinata-like moves from the regulators and the politicians.
Well, you've seen that, folks. I mean,
stock the chart, great.
And it's a 52 to 57, which in the banking world's a big move. I mean, it's been a moonshot since the first week of November, hasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't all that long ago, Tom, you and I were talking about, and the stock was 30, 31, 32. So I think that the reality sets in for investors, saying that the sort of extortion and shakedown activity that the regulators and politicians are doing will eventually go away. This is something that those of us who pay attention to history understand that this comes about, and it'll go through its course, and Jamie Dimon's done a good job managing it. It's been unpleasant for him, I'm sure.
There was a guy who was a great mentor of mine, Philip Carre, who lived to be the August age of 104.
I knew him. He was a wonderful, one of the smartest men, a wonderful human being.
And a genuine synthesis of history and behavior into how do we invest, particularly in a time when the U.S. was much more of a closed economy. I would suggest that Mr. Carre and his great follow-on, John Kerry, at the Pioneer Group would say, well, you have a year where you go up 26%, where essentially no one predicted it. That doesn't happen each and every year. Do you go into next year, Michael Holland, just knowing that it's going to be a single digit or even a negative year and that's okay?
Absolutely not. I don't know, and I had the great good fortune of spending some several opportunities to speak with Philip Carre, and among the things I learned from people like him was that nobody knows what next year is going to bring. It could be, as we discussed several days ago, down several percentage points or more. It could be up 26%. What I'm ready for is history would indicate that sometimes the momentum does take us through at least the first part of next year to the upside, but I think that what I look for is the Federal Reserve to continue doing what it's doing. So that gives you a little bit of a head start that maybe things won't be too negative. But nobody knows.
Nobody knows. But as Barry Ritholtz, I thought, brilliantly said this morning, it's easy to get out of a position. It's so much harder to get back in. So, you know, not to beat JP Morgan to death, let's pick a different stock, Colgate-Palmolive, neither of which I own. But you look at Colgate-Palmolive, and again, looking at the weekly chart, folks, it's a straight line from that February ugliness of 09. Let's call it 30 to 60 to be charitable on Colgate-Palmolive. I believe we can call that a double. And you look at that and you say to yourself, okay, I was a shrewd person. I sold out at some point. How do you get back into a blue chip stock, Michael Holland?
As a smart, successful investor said to me recently, Tom, for people who ask you the question, is it too late to get into stocks, the most difficult time to initiate a position in stocks is always right now. Things are either moving down and you're worried about them, or they're moving up, you say, I missed it. In the case of Colgate-Palmolive, it's a nice microcosm of what we're experiencing in the marketplace generally, and that is continuing pressure downward on their commodity costs on the one hand, and actually reasonable, despite the headlines, a reasonable consumer environment, and one which may gradually, glacially improve over the next several quarters. And if that continues, the path of least resistance for Colgate-Palmolive would be upward rather than downward in terms of its earnings.
1 year dividend growth, 9%. Right. 3-year dividend growth, 9.4%. 5-year dividend growth, 11.3%.
And that's key. That's key, Tom, because the boards, when they do these things, they don't increase those dividends in a way that is anything different than what they see as the future growth of the company in order at hand. So 9% is a pretty good number if people are trying to guess what they're going to be doing in terms
cash.
Of
cash. Michael, small cap, mid cap, large cap. Do I want to be in mid caps because nobody talks about it?
You've mentioned mid caps before, Tom. I think that there are mid caps that are extremely attractive. I don't think I buy any part of the market simply because it's reputed to be overlooked or under analyzed. I think that those things simply come out as a course of the evaluation. And once again, get back to what do you pay for something. And there are some very attractive mid-cap stocks, but I wouldn't go broadly into. There's just an announcement today of Silver Lake, smart technology investor, raising a $1 billion fund in the mid-cap area. So you have some smart company out there looking at mid-caps with you.
Yeah, some of the names, folks, and I just picked this out of I did a word search on the Bloomberg Vanguard Midcap. Delta, Delta Airlines, Healthcare REIT, Inc., Micron, Netflix, Delphi, Macy's. See, I would have thought Macy's was a large cap. Cerner, W.W. Grainger, SanDisk, Vertex. Retail, Michael Holland, Macy's.
Well, I think, Tom, you're going to see some of those on the buy list right now of Glenn Hutchins and the people over at Silver Lake.
Because they're listening to Bloomberg Surveillance. That's
well,
why.
They think in the same manner that you do. So you will see some of those. You'll be reporting on them over the next 12 to 18 months.
How do you invest in a moonshot? I mean, retail, and particularly successful retail, has gone straight up this year. When you see straight up, you're going, yeah, but. How do you climb on board a Michael Kors?
When you go back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, that is that the most difficult time to invest is always right now. You simply have to take a look at where things priced right now, and there are some things that probably are ahead of themselves, and you probably shouldn't initiate a position. But when you hit a company where the valuation, even though it may be up a lot, the valuation is very reasonable with respect to the cash flow, which you are always looking at, and the dividend growth and the earnings growth and the prospects for their businesses, I think one of the things we got this morning was the Tiffany earnings, which confirmed what I had seen over in Asia a few weeks ago when I was in Shanghai. Things in China, for example, are looking very good for retailers. Tiffany is just one more piece of that. Up 22% in their Asia Pacific businesses as they reported this morning. We have some very good prospects over the next 12 to 24 months in retail.
I mean, I look, folks, and this is Michael Kors. I don't own it. I just randomly picked it up. You sort of buy in the dips, and you have a moving average architecture, which are only signposts. Now, Michael, you remember this. Years ago, folks, in our ute, you would drive down country roads, and there were red signs that said Bermashave. You remember this, Michael? This is a few years back.
Yeah, my father told me about them, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I'm loving that. But the answer is there were these red signs. That's sort of what moving averages are like, and you find your spot where you've got a prior belief in the equity, and then you can go in based off a set of moving averages, not one moving average, and you need to be aware moving averages can be hazardous to your capital. What's your message, Michael Holland, to your customers at Holland and Company for 2014? What is your theme?
What I'm looking at right now, Tom, as we're talking this morning, is the growing shortage of negative things. You were talking to Bob Cinch earlier about foreign exchange, and if I picked one thing out of that, the negatives that we've lived with over the past several years, beginning in 2008, just to list the things, the government shutdown and the European contagion and the China hard landing. Do you remember that? Yeah. Most recently, a Treasury default. Are you kidding me? But we talked about a risk-free rate of return becoming an oxymoron. And so we have this growing, but none of those things is around today. So when people talk about multiple expansion in the stock market probably coming to an end, I say, why? If you don't have these things that were present as the multiples were expanding, imagine if we started getting some global growth led by China and followed by the U.S. and then Europe and maybe even Japan of all places. When you have these kinds of things going on, you actually could get a continuing increase in the price-earnings multiple of the provided we continue to have, which right. I think we will, continuing low inflation.
Another stock I don't own, UTX, United Technologies. Would you like to make 11.9% per year? 10 years ago, the dividend was in the vicinity of 17.5 cents per share, 22, 22, 27, 32. Sounds like a bad hike from Eli Manning. 48, 53. You've gone from 20-something cents per share to 59 cents per share. That would be of dividend a record November 15th. That's dividend growth, and that's how you get it done. That's an 8.9% dividend growth the last 3 years, Michael Holland.
United Technologies, UTX, is extraordinarily well-positioned, extraordinarily attractive, and a microcosm of all of the things we're talking about in terms of a growing shortage of negatives and a possibility of increasing positives. I think that they have a menu of businesses that over the next 5 years could continue just what you're describing.
Now, Michael Holland, thank you so much.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM. And 94.5 FM HD2 or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.